Okay, here we're starting on the top of Tzadi Aleph, Amud Aleph, about 9 lines down in the Gemara. Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, a chosemet parav dashba, someone who muzzles a cow and then uses it to thresh with it, loke umishalem dalid kabin, the para, vegivel kabin the chamor. Person gets malchus for violating the isur or the lav of lotachsom shor bedisho, but in addition to that, he has to compensate or give restitution to the animal who denied the food for, and therefore he'll have to provide for a para, for a cow, dalid kabin, who's a bigger animal, and gibel kabin and 3 kab for chamor, which is the assumption is that the chamim were mesha'er, that was the amount of achila that the animal would have had in that situation. Gemara asks a simple question, we have a basic principle of kedevi shato, that a person only is punished once for any single violation, and over here, if he's going to get malkut, why should he have to pay, or why should he have to compensate? It's kedevi shato, right? Brisha achata tamechayvo v'lo shtei rishot, that you can punish him for one item over here, which would be the malkut that he would get for lo tachsom shir shor, and therefore he should be patur from being mishalem. So now we have Gemara is going to have 3 different answers or 3 different suggestions as to what the answer is here. The first one is Amar Abai, Hamani Rabbi Meir, he, the author of this brayso or this position is Rabbi Meir, Damar lokeu mishalem, because he's of the position or of the belief that one is lokeu mishalem, that one can get malkus and have to compensate. So therefore it's not inconsistent or incongruent here that he has both malkut and shilum. That's Abai's position. Rava Amar, so the gears that we have in front of us is Etnan Asra Torah, Fafilu Bali Mo. So we know that a Etnan, which is the exchange or the payment or compensation to a zona for her services, that compensation may not be brought onto the Mizbeach. In that case of Etnan Zona, that Torah is even speaking about a case where the zonah, or the person that he has the relations with, is his mother, which would be a violation or an isur of arayot. So despite the fact that he has a chi of misa here, nevertheless, we still say the etnan takes on a shame of etnan. It becomes an etnan despite the fact that it's compensation, and therefore it indicates to us that despite the fact that there's a chi of misa, there is still a chi of tashlum of some sort here, and that chi of tashlum is what generates the etnan. So we have to look carefully at this in Tosus and Rashi. Tosus's gears, it seems, is slightly different than what we have in our Gemara. If you look in the Bach in Ot Aleph, he says it seems that Tosus's gears is Rav Amar Bevad Yedei Yedei Shemayim Etanan Asra. That the case here is when he's being Yotze Yedei Shemayim. So both Rashi and Tosus over here indicate that when you have either a Kimlei Derabi Minei case or a Kedei Rishato case, which in each of these instances, one will only be Chayav one of the punishments and the other punishment will be waived, but nevertheless, despite the fact that the other punishment is waived, that does not mean that it disappears. And the way Rashi phrases it, Alma, afilu b'makom mita, nami ramu tashlum mele. Even in the place where you're chayav mita, you're still obligated to pay. El she'en koach lansho b'shtayim. Beis Din's not empowered to extract from you the monies that you have to pay. For instance, here, that you promised the zonah a certain amount of payment. She can't come to Beis Din and insist that this individual pays because he's chayav misa. If he's chayav misa, then in that instance, we can't punish him or give him 2 punishments. And therefore, we won't obligate him to pay. But nevertheless, to be Yotze Yedei Shemayim, he is still obligated and he owes this zonah, he owes, in this case, it is his mother, the money that he intended or he had said he would pay her. And the Rashi says again, and since there is an obligation to pay here, let's say Yedei Shemayim, and he is not Yotzeis Chovah until he pays, therefore whatever he pays will take on a shame of Etnan. It will become or take on the status of Etnan. Because if you don't say that, and you say simply that when you have Kimlei D'Rabbi Meir or you have Kedei Rishato, it wipes out the need for Tashlumim entirely. That means when he gives the Etnan or he gives the payment later on, it's simply a matanah. It's a gift. If it's a matanah, then it shouldn't get the status of an etnan. It shouldn't be given the classifications etnan, and it should not be osel mizbeach. Giving a gift is not something that will be osel mizbeach. So the only way we can say it's osel mizbeach is if there is some sort of underlying obligation for you to pay, or let's say lidei shemaim. And since there's this underlying obligation for you to pay, or to be let's say lidei shemaim, therefore when you do make the payment, the animal takes on the status of an etnan. And so from that we see that despite the fact that we do not punish you with the 2 punishments, there still remains an obligation to pay. And same thing over here by Chosemet HaParah. By the case of Chosem et Hapara, even though, true, from Kedevi Chateau, you only be obligated to get Malkut over here and not to make payment, meaning Beis Din can't enforce the need for payment over here. Nevertheless, let's say Yedei Shamayim, there's still an obligation to pay. And Tosfos asks about the Lashon of our Braisa, which is a Chosem et Hapara, Vadashba, Loket, Umishalem. Mishalem sounds like it's a Chovat to pay. It's exactly what Tosfos says in the end. He says that even though it's not a chiyuv or an obligation that Beis Din can extract, nevertheless, it's not simply a midat chasidut over here that we are talking about. What we are saying over here that the chiyuv, right, that the obligation here, it's a valachocha chayav l'seid yidei shemayim chiyuva ma'al yehu. It's an absolute obligation on the individual to pay to be l'seid yidei shemayim. So it's not simply, oh, you know, if you're nice or midat chasidut, you want to pay. No, there's an obligation to be yotzei yidei shemayim and to make him payment to make compensation over here. So both according to Rashi and according to Tosfot, this is a general chakira in, we have both by Kinilei D'Rabbi Mnei or Kedei Rishato, where Beis Din is only allowed to enforce one punishment on the individual. There's a general chakira. What happens to the other punishment? Is the other punishment eliminated entirely, meaning that the Torah only prescribes one punishment, and therefore the other one is hutra, I mean, there's no shechut, or do we simply say that the Beis Din can only affect one punishment, but that doesn't mean that the other punishment goes away, it just means that it's tchuya, Beis Din can't enforce it, but it's still there, the obligation is still there. And since the obligation is still there, then one must be, let's say, Yedei Shemayim, either be Mishalem, or make restitution, whatever they have to do in this case, to be say Yedei Shemayim, he has to deal with that other aspect or that other punishment. And it's clear from here, both Rashi and Tosfot are indicating that in these cases of Kedevi Chateau and in the cases of Kimlei D'Rabbanei, at least according to Rava over here, that there is an obligation to Yotzei Yedei Shemayim, that there's a, let's say Yedei Shemayim, according to us, it's even a Chiyuv, let's say Yedei Shemayim, in order to compensate or make restitution for the monies that you owe, even though Beis Din cannot obligate you for that. So that's the second answer we have. We had Abaye's answer, now we have Rava's answer. So now we have the third answer according to Rav Papa. Rav Papa Amar, Misham Shicha Yechayv Leib Mizanoteha VeMilka Lolaki Ad Shat Chasima, that the obligations actually don't stem from the same action. Once you make a Kenyan Mishicha, or once you Moshech the animal in order to use it for work, then you become obligated in feeding the animal. Whereas the Malkus Velo Tachsum Sherbidisho don't happen until you muzzle it, or until you start it to be dash with it. So therefore, since the obligations stem from different periods of time, or basically the chiyuv mamon, the obligation of money, preceded the chiyuv of malkot, therefore the two are not mutually exclusive. Beis Din can enforce both of them because they don't stem from the same action or from the same point in time. So therefore we have three answers as to why person is lokeh mishalem over here. Abaye says it's Rabbi Meir who believes you can be lokeh mishalem. Rava says that lokeh mishalem are not incongruous because even though true Beis Din can only be give you malkus, nevertheless, let's say Yedei Shemayim and maybe even a Chiyuv, let's say Dishamayim, you have to pay. And Rav Papa says that no, the case here is that you're obligated in both because they don't stem from the same action. And the obligation, the monetary obligation, preceded the Malkot, and therefore Beis Din can actually enforce both of them in this instance. I'm Rav Papa. Hani Milei Bo Minei Debei Rav Papa Bar Abba. Papa says that these two items were asked of the Beis Medrash of Rav Papa Bar Abba, Pashalei Luhu the Yisura, and both of them they paskined that it was Asur. One of them was properly paskin le'esor, and one of them is improperly paskin le'esor. So what are they? By mine. Ma'ala lusha te'isa b'chalav. The first question was, is one permitted to knead the dough with milk? Is one allowed to make milchik bread? And they said, no, it's asur to make milchik bread. That was a proper psak, because the tanya of a braisa, in lashina ta'isa b'chalav, one is not permitted to knead dough with milk, making milchik bread or milchik pastries. Vimlash kolapat kula asura. If one does it, the pat is asura, even to eat in a parav setting, it's asura, because helger levera, we're afraid that one person will come, since people eat bread both with milchiks and fleishiks, they won't know that this bread is milchik, and they'll come to eat it with fleishiks. It'll be very easy to be over the avira of basar bichalav, and because of that, we tell you don't make milchik bread. And of course, there are exceptions. Halachic exceptions is when it's clearly identifiable that it's milchik bread. There has to be some sort of siman that clearly identifies it as being milchik, where people won't make the mistake. Kiyotze, but we have a similar halacha in tashinat tanur balya. One may not baste or smear the oven with fat. Vimtash, and if he does do it with fats, kol pat kula asura, ad shesika the tanur. Then the pat, anything that cooked, or the breads that are cooked in there are asura until you fire up the tanur and you clear out the taste. Because over here, the problem with the aliyah is that it's fleishik. You're using fats that would be fleishik and make the bread fleishik. So just like we don't want the bread to be milchik, we don't want the bread to be fleishik. And therefore, if the oven is fleishik because of the fats that are placed in there, we say don't cook the bread or don't bake the bread in there until you've cleared out the fats from inside. Vidach, the second question that was asked over here, Bamine, Mahu lachnis min v'she'enu minu on the deer. Is one permitted to put into a single area, a grazing area, or into a single pen, two different types of animals that would be otherwise be classified as kilayim with each other? Upashtalahu l'isura, and they said, no, they paskan that it's asur to do this. Lav kehilchus, and that's not the proper halachic response over here. Why? Because, damar Shmuel, ube na'afim, when it comes to niuf, when it comes to edim coming to testify against two individuals that had a licit relationship, they have to actually see it to the point that they know. They can't obviously see the act itself because it's too hard, but they have to see them acting in a way that normally people who are having relations would act in that manner. So it's the term that's used, and we're going to see in a second, and bikilayim also, you're not chayav until you actually physically mate the animals, in a sense that you put the zachar into the nekeva, kimachol b'shoferet. And the term that's used here, that both for the edim, what they have to see, what they have to be visible to them in order to be mechayev the manafim, and also with the kilayim here is kimachol b'shoferet, which is basically like eyeshadow, like the brush that one dips into the eyeshadow. When you see the brush that goes in and it takes out the eyeshadow, so too over here. If you see, right, the zachar entering into the nekeva like that, in that type of action, then that is classified as being either seeing bi'ah in order to be mechayiv them if you're edim, and number two, only with that type of action would one be chayav for kilayim. So it's only once you actively are involved in the mating process are you chayav, but to simply put two animals into a single pen, that's not a problem of kilayim. So meiti ravat chodvai bar ami ilu nemar, if the pasuk had said behem t'chalo tahir bi'ah, if the pasuk simply had said behem then I would say that a person is restricted from holding any animal, holding any female animal, while the zachar comes to mate with it. So what do the pasuk says kilayim to teach you that the isur is only by kilayim, that one may not do this with kilayim, but with other animals where it's min b'mino, you may do that. But what are you permitted to do over here? It says lo ye'achoz, one can't hold it. La michlal de kilayim achiza nami lo. Mashmin from here that by kilayim, even simply holding the nekeva would be restricted, because it says lo ye'achoz. Adam abeima, I would have thought you're not allowed to hold two animals of the same min. What the Torah in the end, or what this brisa says in the end, is you are permitted. If they are the same min, you're permitted to hold the nekeva while the zachar is ole aleha. But what's indicative from this braisa is that one would not be permitted to hold the animals lahachnasa. One would not be permitted to do more than that by, first of all, min bimino. If it was the same min, one would not be permitted to actually physically mate the two animals. And number two, the implication is that lav to be kilayim achizanamilo. That the implications from this braisa is that by kilayim it's asur, even by achiza, to simply hold in a kevaz asur. Not that you have to go as far as what Shmuel says to be machnis kishua mochel mikachol bishvoferet. So Mar says, no, my achiza achnasa. The term achiza here really means achnasa. It doesn't mean literally to hold the keva, but really means to mate them, physically mate them. So if it means achnasa, right, achnasa, why do you say achiza? Lishnam alyo, it's using a nice lashon. It doesn't want to talk about achnasa, the active mating by the individual, but rather it uses a cleaner term or a nicer term called achiza. Samri of Yehuda, min b'mino, mutar lachnis k'machol b'shfoferet. So Rabbi Yehuda says that when it comes to min b'mino, which we learned out of this braisa, one is permitted to be machnis k'machol b'shfoferet. So this is supportive of the position that we said that achiza means hachnasa and not achiza, because we say min b'mino, two animals of the same type which one is permitted to mate, one may mate them actively, take the zachar and physically push it into the nekeva. V'afilim shum pritzuta lekan, there's no even a problem of pritzuta. My time, because in general we have a principle in the Gemara and Vodazah tells us that one may not watch animals mating because of Hirhur Aveira. So why don't we worry about Hirhur Aveira over here? Gemara says, my time of Avite Tori, the person's involved in the Melacha, he's involved in doing the work of mating, and when one is involved in their work or in their Parnosa, we'd say that they're Tarud, they're so involved that they don't have time to have Hirhurim. When do we say that's a sur, is a problem of Hirhurim? When one is passing by or one is not actively involved with the animals and sees them mating, that's a problem or could be a problem of Hirhur Aveira. Over here, there's no problem of Hirhur Aveira. figure out because the person's doing their job. They're working. And when they're working, people don't have time. They're not focused on the hira hura. They're focused on getting the job done. So Meitev Rav Chodvai Bar Ami. So they asked the same question about the statement of Yehuda. Ilin Amar Abihem Techalu Tarbiya. Ito Mer Lo Yechoz Adam Et Abey Ma Kedei Shele Alei Azachar. So I would have thought, had the pasuk simply said behem tchalu tarbiya, I would say lo yachoz adam et bei makadesh alei azachar, you wouldn't be able to hold an akiva while the male comes and mates with it. Tamalover kilayim, that restriction only applies to kilayim. Kilayim hu da asur habemin bemino shari. There it says kilayim is asur, but min bemino would be shari. Umin bemino nami achiza in. From the brides, it sounds like the only thing that is permitted over here is achiza, holding the female in place. Achnasa lo. But when it comes to actually mating them, physically putting them together, it sounds like no. So Gemara says my achiza, the same explanation we gave before. What is achiza over here? Achiza means achnasa. V'may karele achiza. So why is it learned the word achiza? Use the word achnasa, which is more exact and more correct when describing what's going on here. The Gemara says lishna ma'al yo. They wanted to use a nicer way of explaining this type of mating. So Amar Rav Ashi al milsa bom yinei debei Rav Nechemya reish galuta. So these, the reish galuta asked this question of the Beit Rav Nechemya. Rav Ashi says ma'u lachnis min bemino v'she'enu mino the deer. Is one permitted to put three different animals into a single pen? That is two animals that will mate together, or that are permitted to mate together, and one animal that is kilayim with those animals. Right? It's kaven de'ika minei batar minei garir. Do we say because it has its own type in there, therefore it'll go after its own type, we don't have to worry about kilayim, or maybe even that is impermissible. The paskin to the esur, even though that's not the halacha. Now again, a pashtin l'sura is even more extreme than we said before. Not only before, or the psak that Rav Papa brought before, we said it was incorrect, was when you put two animals that are kilayim together in there, they paskin l'sura, and we said that was incorrect. Over here, they're putting in two animals that are sura plus an animal that is mutar, and over here we're saying nevertheless it's still asur. Even in this case, it's asur. And again, Rav Ashi says it's not the hilchasa because we don't worry about kilayim until you actually mate the two animals together. Ah, so why did he paskin l'isur over here? I mean, what was the reasoning behind Rav Yirmiyah, even though that wasn't the halacha, because mishum pritzuta da avde. He was worried about the reish galuta, the avadim, the reish galuta didn't necessarily hold of halacha. We're not very careful about the halacha, and therefore if we permitted them to enter animals that were kilayim with each other into a single pen, they might come to actually mate those animals together. So in order to prevent such an incident from happening, they went ahead and they were oser the gamrei. Okay, now the new Mishnah. Hayoseh biyadav avalo biraglav. If an individual is working with his hands and not his feet, biraglav avalo biyadav, working with his legs but not with his hands, filu b'ktefo, what happens if a person with his shoulders? I mean, he's carrying, but he's not using his hands or his legs. All of these permit the individual to eat. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ad sheyaseh biyadav biraglav. Person has to be involved with his hands and his feet before he's entitled to eat over here. So my time, what's the reasoning of our Mishnah? It says, ki tavo b'kamat recha, b'chol ma'idavit. It says, when you come into your friend's vineyard, b'chol ma'idavit, whatever you're doing, meaning that whatever work you're doing for him permits you to eat. It doesn't have to be particular about your hands, your legs, whatever you're doing, that permits you to eat. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ad sheyaseh biyadav raglav, my time with Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. What's the position of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda? What's it based on? Kishor. It's like a shore. Ma shore ad sheyaseh biyadav raglav. Just like a shore, when it goes to work, it has to use both its hind and fore legs, meaning that it's yadayim and glayim. A poel ad sheyaseh biyadav raglav. So too, by a poel, in order to be permitted to eat, since we committed before, we said that there's a hekesh between the nechsam and the chosem. So just like the nechsam, the animal must use both its fore and hind legs to do its work, so too a human being, until it uses his yadayim or glaim, will not be permitted to eat. So where it says, "Bai Rabba Bar Rav Huna Dash Bivzin V'Tano Golim Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda Mahu." If he uses fowl in order to do, he uses chickens or geese to do the work of dash. So over here, it's clear that they're only using their feet because that's all they have. They only have feet. They're not using their forearms because those are their wings, and they're not, that's not participating in the dash process. So what's the din according to Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda Mahu? B'chol Kocho Be'ina and Va'ika. We need him to use all of his strength. All of his strength means both your hands and legs for a regular animal. For a human being, it also means hands and legs. And for a bird, it means to all its weight with its 2 feet, all its weight and its wings pressing down. And that's what it's doing. Odilmo be a double raglav beina. Maybe we require specifically, like a shore, which means forehand legs and hind legs. V'haleka, and he doesn't have it. Teiku, Gemara leaves that as an unresolved question for Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. Am Rav Nachman of Rabbi Vervoa Polim, Achlo Hilchu Sheti Ve'ereb Gat Uchlim Anavim Ve'en Shotim Yayin. That when workers are hired to press grapes in the the wine press, then when they start out, they may only eat grapes, because what they're involved with in the first part of the process is simply the grapes. They're only working with grapes. Once they've walked back and forth, both horizontally and vertically along the press, and started the process of pressing the grapes, and now the wine is flowing, then since there is also wine here, then they can eat. Then they're permitted to both eat grapes and have wine. Because in the first place, all they're involved with, the only thing that's really available, or the work that they're doing, is with grapes. Once they've started the process of pressing, and now there's wine involved, then they're also working with wine. If they're working with wine, then they're permitted also to drink the wine. But they have to wait or delay themselves to drink the wine until that's actually happened. Okay, the next Mishnah. Hayao se betenim lo yochal banavim. If a person's working with figs, he may not eat the grapes. Banavim lo yochal betenim. If he's working with grapes, he may not eat the figs. Aval moneat atzmo. What he can't do is use self-restraint. He can restrain himself and say, I don't want to eat now. I'll eat when I get to that place and save up his appetite for where he wants to eat. Vochel, that's permitted. A poel is only allowed to eat, or only allowed to do this while they are working. Nevertheless, Chachamim said, because, or to the benefit of the balim, amru poelim ochlim bali chatam miuman uman. When the poelim are moving from row to row to do their work, we permit them to eat. Even though what it sounds like from this Mishnah is midoraisa min haTorah, they would not be permitted to eat because they're only allowed to eat when they're involved in their work. Nevertheless, the Chachamim said, to the benefit of the Baalim, that if the Poalim actually eat while they're moving or while they're going between the rows, it'll actually benefit the Baalim, because then they won't have to eat later on, or they won't have to eat while they're working, and allow them to work better and more appropriately for the Baalim. And the same thing when they're returning from the press. And we'll get to this later on, but a Chamor that is unloading may also eat. Person's working on this vine right now. He's, for instance, picking off the grapes in this vine. Is he permitted to eat grapes from another vine? We need it to be that, again, we learned this from Kitavo B'Kamat Re'acha, Kitavo B'Kerem Re'acha. Over it says, that you may not put it into your basket, but you put it into the basket of the balabait. So do we take that hekesh to a point where we say that whatever you're putting into the balabait's basket, that's what you're allowed to eat, and therefore what does that mean? Does that mean simply the min, the type, and over here you're putting grapes into the basket, so therefore, right, min shatan utena kilav shel balabait b'inan v'haika, and that's what you're eating. You're eating grapes, and that's what you're putting into his basket. Oh, dilma mashatan utena kilav. How literally do we take it? We take it so literally that whatever exactly you're putting into the basket, shel balabait b'inan v'haleka, that exactly the grapes, mean the vine that you're picking off, that you're putting into the balabait's basket, that's the vine that you're allowed to, therefore, or permitted to take from, and not from any other vine. Gemara says, v'im tim salomar, the Gemara says, well, let us see. If you were to conclude from this that if you worked on one vine, you may not be permitted to eat from another vine, then shor b'mechubar hechi ochel. How do you ever have a case that a shor b'mechubar, that is eating something that's attached to the ground, how can he ever eat? So now Rashi says the question here is simply that when you're working with the shor is pulling a wagon. And since the shor is pulling the wagon, he is distant from where the workers are. I mean, the workers are on the back of a wagon, they're picking or they're placing the items in the back of the wagon. The shor is far ahead. The shor is far ahead, then he's going to be eating. The shor is permitted to eat. Permechubar is going to be eating from something that is not attached to what they're working on. So how could you ever say that Ofer Begefen Zeh cannot eat Begefen Acher? Because otherwise the case by shor will never come up. That's what Rashi explains it. Tosa says, no. What it means over here is that the difference between Mechubar and Talush is, Ri says he doesn't like Rashi's Pshat, but he says like this, that Hechi Perusho, but Mechubar, Hainu Kshudash B'Mechubar, that he's actually threshing while the grains are still attached to the ground. So how can you have a case like that? Because when it comes to Talush, when it's already detached and already harvested, when the animal is dash over, even though he eats from a different place that he's walking on, nevertheless, the whole area is considered to be one unit. It's one aguda, meaning that all the talush, all the grains that are there are one unit, and therefore he's eating from the same unit that he's working with. But when it's mechubar, then each stalk is unique in of itself and is chashuv by itself. If that's the case, whatever he's walking on or threshing, he's not eating from, because his head is ahead of where his feet are. So how could it be? How could you ever come up with that case? So Amar Rav Shishi Barei Rav Idi, no. From there, you cannot conclude that if you're Oseh Begefen Zeh, you are permitted to eat Begefen Acher, because come up with a case where Besircha, it's a case where it's a very long stalk. According to Rashi, it's either a very long vine, and therefore the animal can eat from the same vine that the workers are working on. According to Tosvot, the Shibalim, these stalks are very long, and therefore he could be stomping on a stalk that he could be eating from, the same one he's stomping on he could be eating from. All right, Tashma, the Gemara is going to try to prove from our Mishnah about this question about eating from grapes from another vine. Hayah Oseh Betenim, lo yuchav. Anavim. The person who is eating figs, working with the figs, may not eat grapes. Hatainim, betainim, dumya detainim vanavim. Sounds like if they were both of the same min, if they were both figs, similar to what the difference between figs and grapes would be, ochel, that he would be permitted to eat. Viamart, osib begiven ze in ochel begiven acher. If you say that a person who is eating, working on this vine may not eat from the other vine, echemishkachba, how do you have that case? It's clear by a case of figs and grapes that they're two different vines. So if the comparable case where it's mutar by grape and grape or fig and fig, that would mean two different vines. But if that's not the case, then why does the Mishnah say that it's only impermissible by a navim and teinim? It could even be impermissible by a navim in that case. So Amar of Sheshi Breid the Rav Idi Bimudlit. No, we can come up with a case like that. It's a case where they're actually leaning on top of the other vine. I mean that the vines are so long that they're actually together. And therefore, when they're working on them, as Rashi points out, when it comes to a te'ina, if the te'ina is hanging over onto the grapes, now what you're doing is picking grapes. So when you move the te'ina, you're not permitted to eat from the te'inim because that's not the min that you're working with. On the other hand, when you have grapes that are hanging over, another vine of grapes is hanging over, if you lift up that vine in order to work the grapes, you're allowed to eat, maybe, or you should be allowed to eat from that vine that's hanging over here because you're eating from the same min that you're working with. And since you have to lift it up and you have to pick it up in order to pick here, you're actually coming into contact with the other vine, and that's what permits you to eat over here. So Gemara says, okay, tashma. The person can hold himself up until he gets to the nice place and eat. If you say that a person can eat on another vine when he's working on this vine, why does he have to hold himself back? Why does he have to restrain himself until he gets to the good stuff? Let him go over to the good stuff, pick a bunch off, and then come back here and work. We don't let him go over the other vine, because then during when he's going over to the other vine, he's mevatel from the malacha. Gemara says, no. When it comes to Bitl Malacha, that's not our question. When his wife and his child are there who are not hired to the Baal HaBayit, and they can go pick and bring it to him, my, what's the din? So Gemara says, Tashma. That the only time that one is permitted to eat is a time of lacha. But because the chamim instituted, because of the benefit of the owners, amru palim ochlim balichatami uman uman, that when they're walking from row to row, we permit them to eat. Ubechaziratam minagat, and when they're coming back from the presses, savrua. So we thought, when one is walking between the two different vines, that is like a masa. So technically, midol raisa, they should be able to eat here because they're still involved in the malacha of the Baal HaBayit. But, nevertheless, the chamim say over here that they're not permitted to eat midol raisa, only midol rabanan, midol raisa lo achil. Why? Why are they only allowed to eat midol rabanan over here? Maybe because I'm also gefen zeno achil begefen achir. Because when the individual is walking from this vine to the next vine, the walking is preparation or malacha. It's a maaseh for the new vine that he's going to. It's a part of the malacha for the new vine he's going to pick from. But the fruits that he's carrying in his hand are from the vine that he just left. So the reason that we say in the Mishnah that midoraisa it's asur is because he's taken from the old vine, and even though he's involved in the process of working with the new vine. So that's why it's asur. So from our Mishnah we could prove that you can may not eat from one vine to the other vine. The Gemara says, no. Though the olam, im lecha oseh begefen zeh ochel begefen acher. Generally, no. Person who's working on this vine may be permitted to eat from another vine. Ah, umalech. So how you can explain our Mishnah is malech lav kosim maseh dami. The case in our Mishnah is that when one is walking between the rows, that's not like a maseh. When a person's walking between the rows, that's not classified as if he's working. Meaning that he's outside of the realm of malacha now, and that's why midor rice he's not entitled to eat, and only midor rabbanah is he entitled to eat because he was mufka from the parsha of eating at that point in time. Ikadamri. So the others that say that do it just the opposite. They make the diok the way one way, and then they reverse it. So the Gemara does this. Sabrua. Like the conclusion of the last statement, that when one walks, it's not like doing a maseh. And the reason that he can't eat over here is because he's not working. Had walking been classified as a maseh, as work, so that he would have been permitted to eat, he would have been able to eat midoraisa. Alma, from there you conclude, because again, when he's walking to the new work, that's where the maseh is, but he's taking the fruits from the previous gefen that he was involved with. And therefore, it would indicate to us that one is permitted to eat from the previous gefen, even though he's going to work with the new gefen. When it says, lo, emalecha oseh begefen zeh, ochel begefen acher. No, that may be the conclusion, or no, the halacha is that one may not be eat from this vine if he's working with another vine. Ah, so why over here is it patur, or he's not allowed to eat midoraisa? Malech oseh maseh dami. The problem over here is exactly that even though he is involved in the malacha, nevertheless, he's not allowed to eat. Why is he not allowed to eat? Because he's taking it from the previous vine, and now he's going to work with a new vine. So basically, the Gemara tries both ways, the Midayik from Mishnah both ways, and the Gemara says it's inconclusive, because you could read our Mishnah, you can read the issue with our Mishnah as being either because Malech Hosei Maaseh Dami or Lav Hosei Maaseh Dami. And depending how you read the issue of the Poalim moving from row to row, is the problem about the fact that they are taking from one vine and then going to the new vine, or you could read it that the problem has nothing to do with going to one vine to the other vine, but simply about they're not involved in melachah, they're not involved, they can't eat. So either case, since you can read the Mishnah either way, from there we have no conclusive proof as to what the din is when it comes to one vine and working on one vine and eating with the other vine. So the Gemara has no conclusion to that situation. Okay, but chamor, she porakat. The Mishnah says that when a chamor, when it's unloading, may be eating. Gemara says, she porakat, meichan achla. Once it's unloaded, where it's going to eat from? I mean, that it's only entitled to eat while it's working. And while it's working, the load's on its back. As soon as it takes the load off, it's done working. So why can it eat from that which is taken off? Ema, so you have to read it. No, ad shehetu porakat. Until it's unloaded, the animal is permitted to eat from the load that's on it. Tanina ha de Tanu Rabbanan. We have a brisa that supports this limud of the Rabbanan. Chamor v'gamal ochlim. Right. We have a Mishnah that supports that which the Rabbanan tell us, which is chamor v'gamal ochlim mimasui shal gabehem. They're allowed to eat from the load that's on their back. But one is not permitted to take out of that load on their back and feed it to them directly. They can, it sounds like here, turn around and eat it off, or if part of it's taken off, maybe they can eat it, the portion that's still on, or the connected to the stuff that's still on. But once they've been unloaded entirely, then they may not eat anymore because they're no longer involved in the melacha. Okay, we'll stop over here.